Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
It's the Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. Monday edition, East Coast Bias, the aftermath of a four-day NCAA tournament slaughter for your boy, John Zastrzemski, alongside Joe Houston, Raheem Palmer, as we recap what you witnessed over the course of the weekend from an NCAA tournament and an NBA perspective. And guys, in all seriousness, it was a little better for me on Saturday and Sunday, but Thursday and Friday, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, House. You know me. I love the NCAA tournament. It's one of my favorite things to bet every single year. It's an event that I look forward to. I had a great time at the Borgata, the whole deal. I say without hesitation, House, it was hands down the worst Thursday and Friday I have ever had with the tournament. And some of the games I gave out, I apologize to the audience, like New Mexico. That game was over before it even began. So if you were dumb enough to ride with me on New Mexico, Los Siento, I apologize. How about this? Public, 38 and 13 ATS in the NCAA tournament. The best public start by a wide margin. That comes from Raheem's buddy, Evan Abrams, over at the Action Network. So how should you know what that means? Public's cleaning up. I'm going to get my ass whooped. Case closed.
Well, this is it. I mean, this is the problem. For guys like us that think that we're occasionally sharp. I mean, I know better, so I just take my lumps. But trying to find angles in these matchups, it can be a little bit of fool's gold. It is, really telling that number you just shared. The public, that means favorites were hitting. That means favorites were covering. That means chalk prevailed. And that's not what's in our inner instincts as longtime, fans of the NCAA tournament. We're looking for those angles where, where's this upset coming from? Which one of these seeds are out of order? That kind of thing. Nothing was out of order. What was out of order was going against the favorites because, man, the favorites cleaned up this week, weekend dream.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you look at NCAA second round favorites, 15-1. The only team that didn't win was Baylor. And, you know, Baylor, they made an incredible comeback and they were two missed free throws away from tying that game and potentially winning. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just not in our DNA to just pick 15 favorites to win, especially in the NCAA tournament. And what should be an efficient market, you would expect this to come back to earth at some point.
No doubt about it.
And the good news for us, and I say this every year when you hit the tournament, you want to have some chaos over the first 4 days, but you want to have appealing Sweet 16 matchups. And I guess if there's a silver lining to all of these ones and all of these twos advancing, is you look at the games you'll have coming up on Thursday and Friday, and there are a lot of appealing matchups, whether it's Gonzaga-Purdue, whether it's UNC and Bama, Duke and Houston, Creighton and Tennessee, Iowa State and Illinois, on and on we go. There are a lot of games where you're like, wow, this will be intriguing to watch. These games should be entertaining. But House, I think what summed up my weekend better than any game, not even I guess New Mexico from one end of the spectrum, but then Oregon, who is covering the entire game. Oregon, who has a 4-point lead with 20 seconds to play, plus 5.5, got a little bit more at plus 4.5. Yeah, might have grabbed a little more at 3.5. To see that game go to overtime, and then to see the kid on Oregon hit the shot at the end of overtime to get to a double, that's what dogs go to die, House. I knew it, man. I knew it.
You said it. Overtime burial ground. You get to, as soon as it clicks over to your OT, you say bye-bye to those tickets. I was disappointed. Oregon, it felt like to me, snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. You mentioned being up 4, you know, and I'm not sure what that win probability looked like if you're charting it and go back and look and see, but it had to have been way up there. And to my way of thinking, I thought Oregon aided and abetted its own demise down the stretch. They should have won that game outright in regulation. And there were a couple of, I know you like the coach of Oregon, but I thought he was not up to the task in the last 30 seconds of that game, with the most glaring example of this being leaving Dante on the floor, his worst free throw shooter, for an inbound play when they're up a bucket. All you need is somebody on your team that can knock down 2 baskets. You win that basketball game. He has his worst free throw shooter amongst his starting crew on the floor. Obviously, Creighton lets that kid catch the ball. He makes 1 of 2, and it opens the door. The door's wide open. So, and you know they're in an intentional foul mode, so you can bring Dante right in. As soon as the foul occurs, you have him down the stretch. He was awesome. And at some point over maybe Thursday, let's make sure we do a segment of, like, is this an NBA body? Because that kid, I love the way he ran, and his hands around the rim in terms of rebounding was outstanding. And that's a kid that I didn't have, you know, sort of on the radar. I don't know where he ranks in terms of draft prospects, but that was a guy who stood out to me. But in any event, yes, Oregon was a disappointment dream.
Yeah, my biggest disappointment was Nevada, because, I mean, I watched that opening round game. I thought it was like the sharp side. A lot of sharps were in Nevada. They dominated. I mean, they had a 16-0 run before the half. And, you know, with 5 minutes to go, they're up 18, and it looks like this game is over, and they give up like a 22-2 run to close the game. So just very disappointing. I mean, the Mountain West in general, you could fade them pretty much any time they go to the NCAA tournament.
Outside of San Diego State, Raheem, take all those other teams and we'll fade them every single year. I don't care what we do. I don't care what the numbers say. Let's just blindly do it, okay?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, because, I mean, they're just not even competitive now. Obviously, Utah State did get through TCU. But after that, they got torched. So, I mean, just fade them.
And then you look at the Big East and the ACC. And the talk around the ACC was, oh, they're overrated. They're not that good. At the end of February, I'm on my honeymoon. I'm seeing that the ACC is a two-bid league. I'm like, what kind of nonsense is that? You have 4 ACC teams in the Sweet 16. No surprise with Carolina. Duke, House, I know you have a little investment there in Duke. And listen, you got a good number. There's no getting around that. They're in the Sweet 16. Clemson, I had them yesterday against Baylor. They went outright. They had to sweat it out there at the end of the game. Helps when Baylor misses a couple of free throws, but they're there. And then NC State beats the 6, gets Oakland, survives the game in overtime. Do you look at Duke, House, and say, because of Houston's scare yesterday, and I don't know if you guys saw that bounce pass, that was the best thing I saw all weekend. That bounce pass with 1 second left to get it to the dude on A&M and bang the 3, absolute insanity. And I had A&M, and I'm like, wow, here goes another dog to die. Thankfully, it didn't. But do you look at Houston in their game with 32 and say, wow, Duke can get him? Or do you almost look at it and say Houston had their scare? I think Houston is going to be dialed in and that much better and maybe undervalued when they're taking on the Dukies come Friday.
See, I think that it's a reveal on Houston. And, you know, this is the issue that they've had coming into the tournament. They're thin bench-wise. They have some injuries. One of their best players was limping in the second half. You saw them get into foul trouble. That's not something that has an easy solution. I think that's closer to the identity of Houston than the team that was out, you know, sort of blowing the doors off of teams. And the problem for Houston is Duke is coming in with an efficiency on offense that we hadn't seen up to date. And it's really because this kid, Jared McCain, has been, you know, scoring 30 points in the James Madison game, no turnovers. That's a freshman, 8 for 11 from three. So we see this occasionally where, you know, young kids come to the stage like, hey, I kind of like it here, and then carry their team a little bit. And it creates some firepower that you didn't anticipate. I think Duke is super duper live against Houston, Dream.
I don't have much of an opinion on this. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not watch any of those games. I watched the end of the Houston and Texas A&M game, you know, when Texas A&M made that miraculous comeback. But I didn't watch any of those games. I was more into NBA than I was into March Madness. I have no opinion on this one.
So you missed out on Duke winning by a zillion points. You didn't. Long story short, Raheem, you didn't miss much with Duke taking care of business. How's that actually go the other way? Okay. And I understand your point on Duke. They get now a third source of scoring. They are undervalued. Houston and me, their athleticism on the perimeter is going to drive those Duke guards insane. It's going to drive them insane. And listen, Houston has to stop fouling. If A&M hit foul shots yesterday, A&M wins the game. A&M missed about 15 foul shots. 15 foul shots. Can't survive. Can't expect to win that way. Okay. I got one more initial thought from the tournament, and we'll take a break, do some look-aheads, odds to win the region, some thoughts on what we saw from the NBA this weekend, and some Monday plays. Anybody beating UConn? Because here we are. UConn won the title. I understand they beat a 16, Raheem. They smoked Northwestern, like men against boys. They're basically an odds-on favorite here to win it. I think you need a big to beat them. Purdue has that. Carolina has that. Anybody take it down UConn, or do you look at the market and the market kind of tells you exactly what you need to know at this point in time?
It feels like the market is telling you what you need to know. I mean, we're looking at plus 210 on FanDuel Sportsbook right now for them to win the title. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not the biggest college basketball guy, but from my uneducated eyes, it just looks like there's value in it. I mean, like, they're 10.5-point favorites in San Diego State, and their money line is minus 690. Like, do you think there's value on them?
Well, think about it this way, House. If they play Iowa State, Illinois, they'll be, what, a 5.5-6-point favorite?
Yeah.
Something along the lines of that?
Yeah.
They're going to be favored in any game they play. I don't think there's a game in which they're an underdog against whoever they play. They play Carolina, they'll probably be a 3.5-point favorite. If they play, I think Purdue would probably be the team, House, that would be the lowest point spread. But I still think they'd make UConn like a 3-point favorite in that game. I do. So I don't necessarily suggest going and taking them at plus 200 when they were 20-1 at the beginning of the year to win it. But, I mean, listen, it's going to be really hard to beat them. That I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to invest in anything at this point that low. You can just do money line rollovers, I think, and surpass that. You got to lay the juice, but. I mean, certainly from the eye test, they meet it. They have everything you want to see out of the defending national champion that comes in as the number one overall seed. They're legit on both sides of the ball. But in terms of value and pricing, no need to wade into that market, I don't think.
All right, guys. We come back. I'll throw some odds at you, the updated odds to win each of these regions. They have kind of remained similar in some ways. Maybe still a chance to go and jump in on somebody. I'll make that case when we come back. We got a weekend in the NBA to get to. By the way, guys, I think my next Knicks jersey, I'm investing a little Deuce McBride action into the table. I can't get enough of that guy. And Raheem, there's a certain team that you are starting to hammer as far as their chances in making the postseason. We're going to get to that, too, right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
All right, guys, let me run these region odds and let's see if there's any interest. Forget about UConn. They're minus 230 to win the region. I don't think anybody's getting involved in Iowa State at 420. Illinois at 600. San Diego State at plus 1200. West region. Raheem, Arizona's at 110 plus. Carolina plus 180. Bama plus 410. Clemson plus 950. I have Carolina at plus 280. Anything you would fire in on there or no? Hard pass.
There's nothing I would fire, but I mean, I think if you had to take something, I think you got to take a shot on Clemson. Almost 10 to 1. I mean, is Arizona really that good to where you feel like Clemson doesn't have a shot?
No, I think it's good value. I don't trust Arizona. I do not think Arizona. Again, the odds makers disagree with me on this house because even though they're a 2 seed, they're still installed as the favorite to go and win this region. I'm not a believer. I still need to see it from Arizona. And I think if Carolina matches up with them, they're going to beat them. Carolina, obviously, with the tougher game, you would argue, against Bama. But I think that's a bad matchup for Alabama. That's my personal take. Okay, House, 370, Duke. Should somebody jump in now if they like it? I know it's not as good a number as you got about a week ago. Plus 370 on Duke.
I still like Duke. I don't know if that price gives you enough in return. I mean, what is it? Might be safer to play the money line for them against Houston here, and then see what transpires, you know, in the Elite Eight. It's probably, I bet it's close to that plus 370 number.
Well, plus one over the next 2 days. Yeah, because you're getting 150 now. In the Houston game.
Yeah.
So plus 150 in the Houston game.
So who are they going to be matched up with against if they win Houston?
Marquette or NC State.
Oh.
And the odds makers tell us Marquette, sizable favorite. We love NC State. I love the big guy Burns. Got a little baby Zebo to him, to quote my producer extraordinaire, Stefan Anderson. And he was fun to watch.
Really good.
Guys, the other day at the book, Everyone at the book was rooting like crazy for Oakland. And I'm the only, like, schmuck in there yelling and screaming for NC State. So, needed that for a third leg of a parlay. So, significant to some. So, all right, fair enough. Guys, here's the one I would hop on. Creighton at plus 450 still to win the region. And that region is chalky. It's 1, 2, 3, and 4 with Purdue, Tennessee, Creighton, and Gonzaga. Creighton is a 2.5-point dog. Spoiler alert, I love him against Tennessee. And I'll take my chances with Creighton if they match up with Purdue in the Elite Eight, House. 450, not much of a drop-off from what you would have gotten a week ago with those odds. Might have to get you on board, House, man.
I'm sorry. I suffer from recency bias. I was super unimpressed by Creighton in that game against Oregon. I thought that the only reason they beat Oregon is because Oregon beat itself. And, you know, Creighton, really lives on mid-range jumpers and three-pointers. And you can see when those aren't going in, they are super susceptible to getting run out the gym. So I will not be investing anything in Creighton. I expect them to lose imminently this game or the next. And to me, that's not a team that's built for a long haul here.
Interesting. See, I look at Raheem and say they got their scare. That's a good Oregon team. That's an Oregon team that's not a legitimate 11 seed. And when you survive a game like that, sometimes you got a little karma and juju working in your favor, man.
But here's the thing. You could say they got their scare, but you could also say Tennessee got their scare because in that game against Texas, Dalton Kennett was 5-for-18 from the field and 1-for-8 from three. He didn't get it going until the end of that game. So you could argue that they won that game despite their best player not showing up until the end. And, you know, one of the things I would love to say is that when you asked me about this region last week, I said either Purdue or Tennessee. Well, both of them are right there. So I'm not going to back down from that original prediction.
And here are the odds in case you're looking to hop in on FanDuel to win the title going into Sweet 16. UConn, Raheem hit on it. They're a plus 210. Houston is a plus 550, which to me, I still think is a pretty good number for them. I think it's a little higher than it should be because their region is tough. Arizona, 850. I forgot about Purdue. They're at 6-1. And then you have the Tennessee, 12-1. Carolina, 13-1. Marquette, not a bad number with Marquette at 15-1. Iowa State, 20-1. Duke, 23-1. Creighton, 25-1. Gonzaga, 27-1. I feel like, Raheem, I'm going to be looking to find somebody in that 10-1 range to maybe have some fun going into Final Four weekend. I might take a stab on Marquette. I might. If for some reason Duke gets past Houston, that might not be a bad play, dude.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad play. When you look at Houston, they don't have a lot of depth. You know, when all of those guys fouled out against Texas A&M, like, they put a walk-on on the court. And the one thing we know about Houston is that although they're an elite defensive team, they're not an elite offense. So I can never be mad at you taking another team in that region. So I think I kind of like that one.
Yeah, to Dream's point, we'll know right away, JJ, when you see what kind of whistle that game comes, you know. If Duke gets a favorable whistle in that game, then you'll know right away. That might be a nice one to pay attention to for some live betting.
No doubt about it. And listen, Duke will hit the free throws, which is something we did not see from the Aggies on Sunday. Duke is in a spot where they're going to the line 40 or 45 times. Hot take. They're going to shoot a little bit better than Texas A&M. Okay, guys. Raheem, you had a little NBA breakout video I saw when I was definitely hurting Sunday morning. You know, I had one too many drinks at the table. I need to go get my coffee. And I'm scrolling through my, you know, social media content. My guy Raheem is talking up the Houston Rockets. That's what we call a nice little transition in the NBA. And obviously the Warriors are having their struggles. Steve Kerr tries to pull a little Jedi mind trick, playing Steph Curry, not a whole lot, trying to make an example out of Steph Curry with everything that's going on with that aging, not the same Golden State Warriors team. It's time for you here on East Coast Bias, Raheem, to make the case for why it won't be Golden State for that final playoff spot, but the Houston Rockets.
Okay, so you look at the Houston Rockets. Well, Saturday night around like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I'm up. And I'm looking at the standings. And the Houston Rockets are 1.5 games behind the Golden State Warriors. And I'm looking at it. And I'm like, yo, FanDuel Sportsbook has them at plus 800 to get the 10th seed. And you look at this Golden State Warriors team, they're 9-7 since the All-Star break. Now 9-8. They had a net rating of just plus 1.5. And they were 4-7 in their last 10 games after their loss yesterday. I look at the Houston Rockets. They're rolling. 9-1 in their last 10 games. 11-5 since the All-Star break. Net rating of plus 4.2. And the losses have come against the Thunder twice, the Clippers, the Suns. And then they slipped up once against the Grizzlies. But those are all top-tier teams. And you look at the way Jalen Green is playing right now. Almost 27 points per game. 6 rebounds. 3.5 assists. Almost 50% shooting and 40% from behind the arc. So this team is really poised to make that playoff push. And I look at this Warriors team, and it just feels like the team around Steph Curry, they're just not good enough. I mean, like, Klay Thompson is inconsistent. Chris Paul is washed. Draymond Green is kind of a shell of himself. And you saw it yesterday with their game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're trying to rest Steph Curry so he doesn't burn out. But they'll rest him to like 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then by the time he comes back in, the other team has a lead. So I just think the look at their schedules. And a lot of people will say, well, the Rockets' schedule is tougher. But the Warriors have, out of their 12 games left, 8 of them are on the road. And you look at who they play this week. They got the Heat and they got the Magic on their 5-game road trip. And then right after their 5-game road trip, when they play the Spurs and the Hornets, they got to take on the Mavericks, the Rockets on the road, and then the Mavericks on the road again. So I just think they're in a tough spot. I gave this out at plus 800 on the timeline. It's now down to plus 550 for the Rockets to make the 10th seed. So
I wish we hopped in, House. I wish I hopped in at 800. Would you hop in, and me and you should maybe think about this, at 550?
Definitely. Without hesitation or reservation. Immediately. Because it's just going to keep going in the wrong direction. The Warriors are going to lose both of those games to the Heat and the Magic. And this number is going to be, you know, under 300. The Warriors stink. They haven't been good. They can't beat anybody at the end of games. They don't defend. They don't have the bodies to defend. They made a decision at the beginning of this season in terms of their personnel, and then they doubled down on that decision come trade deadline. They're like, we're going to go with the OGs. Where the OGs are O, which is to say old. They're cooked. They're done. We've been watching it for months. The idea was that Draymond would come back and we would see the defensive flexibility that team has. They have dudes that can't move. Kuminga was supposed to be on the come up and was supposed to be the youthful savior over these last couple months. He's a kid. He's inconsistent, and he's still trying to find his way. I don't know, other than the proper attention and honorable treatment of Steph Curry, who's once again at age at 35, 36, having an incredible season. It's just out of respect that we talk about the Warriors at all, because that's a garbage basketball team that I think odds-wise is more likely to be out of the play-in, not out of the playoffs, out of the play-in than Houston.
Okay, I wanted to run this by you guys because we got a big one on Tuesday. It's the late-night TNT game. It's going to be Dallas and Sacramento, and obviously those two teams, they're playing for a lot. You know, it's the idea of trying to stay out of that play-in and end up potentially jumping Phoenix maybe and being that number six seed. Raheem, interestingly enough, Dallas and Sacramento both play this evening here on Monday. Dallas in Utah, always a tough place to play. Sacramento, you know, they're a terrific home team hosting Philadelphia. Going into that game, you know, the back-to-back theory, should we be looking to fade Dallas knowing, hey, on the road, big game coming up on Tuesday, second night back-to-back, or you don't necessarily look at that correlation that way? Because, like, when I'm going through schedule stuff, that was when I immediately circled. I'm like, wow, tough place to play despite Utah's record. And now they got to go and play the following day? I don't like that. I don't like that.
So this is an interesting thing because not only do they have a back-to-back with Sacramento, they actually play a two-game series with Sacramento.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that. So after they play on Tuesday, they play Sacramento again.
Yeah, they play Sacramento again on Friday. So, and here's the biggest thing. Tonight could legitimately be a blowout. I mean, they're taking on the Utah Jazz. They're 9-point favorites. If they wrap up that game early, it makes tomorrow's game easier. So I think you want to watch out and see what happens in tonight's game before you make a decision on tomorrow. Obviously, there is no line on that Kings-Mavericks game right now because we just don't know. But you want to watch for tonight's game, see if they wrap things up early. Like if this was a game that went to overtime where, you know, the Mavericks are playing deep into the game, then that changes things for tomorrow. So you definitely want to look at that. But it's a two-game series, and you know, that kind of changes things because a lot of times with these two-game series, you tend to see one team win one, and then the team who loses, they're a lot more motivated going into that second game.
How's tricky spot tonight for Dallas and Utah?
No, I think Dallas is going to. No, because Utah's packed up the tents. They're done. I keep looking for them to be spunky. They're cooked. And then
Tank Mode Jazz. Tank Mode Jazz is what we have going
that's
on.
That's it. They have made their intentions clear. So I expect Sacramento and Dallas to both handle their business, and it's not going to be any issue. And to Dream's point, Dallas might be in blowout mode and be able to rest some guys in the fourth quarter. I really am intrigued by this Dallas-Sacramento thing because how impactful it is on the top six seeding. And look, this to me, it's a real test of our Dallas thesis. Like, we came in with big enthusiasm post-trade deadline about Dallas being able to play some defense. And they went off on a tear, and then there was a lull, and now they look like they maybe have resumed some form. PJ Washington is growing in confidence. There's been some really good signs of progress out of him. So if either of those two teams sweeps that, then that puts them in this beautiful position in terms of the seedings for the West. But what I expect is that they split, a home-home split. So I think I might be gambling accordingly.
Fair enough. Okay, so big favorite each, respectively. If you look at Dallas, they'll lay in the lumber. 8.5 against the Utah Jazz. You got Sacramento at home. That line's gone from 9 to 9.5 against the Philadelphia 76ers. All right, guys, Monday court in the NBA. Raheem, good slate. A lot of games today. What stands out to you?
Okay, so a lot of my favorite games tonight have moved, unfortunately, but I think we're still going to go with this. We're going to go with the Portland Trail Blazers, Houston Rockets, over 225. It's not ideal at this price. This line opened at 221 this morning. All the way up to 225. So that was one I really, really loved. I mean, the biggest thing, I spoke about the Rockets earlier, they're second in offensive rating over the last 10 games. 123 points per 100 possessions, only behind the Boston Celtics. This team has absolutely been rolling offensively. You look at the Blazers, they're not stopping anybody right now. They're in the bottom 10 in defensive rating. Both of these two teams have gone over in their last 5-6 games. So I really like that over. I also like the over in the Mavericks game, over 236. That one's also got bet up from 233, but I still like it either as well. So I think you can go with those two. There may be another one that I'm kind of into, but that one's moved way too far. So I'm not even going to give that one out.
House, what are we thinking?
I'm looking at that Boston-Atlanta Hawks game. I mean, Boston is once again back to its full-on juggernaut, truck everybody. Beat everybody by double digits. Atlanta comes in super limping. I think Garrison Matthews is going to play. There's another guy deep down the back. Like they're looking for bodies right now in Atlanta. The only thing to pay attention to, the numbers in, I've seen it at 11.5. I've seen it at 11. I've seen it at 10.5. 10.5, obviously, I love, but that's a reflection of whether or not Derek White, who's questionable, is definitely going to play. He's been playing with a hurt hand. He's showing up on their injury report as questionable every game. Holiday's definitely out, but you got to give it up to Tatum and Brown. Those dudes are warriors. They just want to go play ball. They love to play ball. They love to show up for the fans. So I'm knocking on wood. If those dudes play, then I don't mind laying the double digits with Boston.
So I'm looking into Detroit tonight, fellas, against the Knicks. And I know Detroit has gotten absolutely smoked in their last couple of games, but let's consider who they've played. Two of those games against the Celtics. Celtics, Nuggets, take your pick, best team in the league. New Orleans, they end up losing to New Orleans, but they played the Knicks incredibly tough the last time they played. In fact, they should have won the game. It was one of those games in which the Knicks were handed a gift by the officiating crew. I forget, I was on a honeymoon. I remember watching the end of the game. There was like a shove, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was one of those games where I think Detroit has that in the back of their minds, and they compete tonight. Now, I don't like the fact that the Knicks have a couple of days of rest here, and they didn't have a great first half against Brooklyn, exploded in the second half, and ended up winning the game. They got a big effort out of DiVincenzo. But I saw that number, House, and you know me, I hate betting against my team. 16.5 with the Pistons tonight.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of points. Dude, I'm sorry. That's a lot of points. I would grab it.
Points in the game. The total's 211.5, 210, you know, around 211. There aren't enough points to lay 16 or 16.5.
Raheem, am I crazy to like Detroit there in that spot?
So I think the biggest issue to, with this game is that obviously the Pistons, they're playing a 3-4 and a back-to-back. And Cade Cunningham is a game time decision. Fantasio is a game time decision. Doran is a game time decision. So you have all of these guys on the injury report right now, and we just don't know who's going to play. If I look at my model and my number for this game, my full season numbers have it Knicks minus 15. My post All-Star break number has it minus 13. And that includes the 3-4 and the back-to-back. So you probably are on point with wanting to grab the number on the Pistons should those guys play. But if they don't play, then it puts you in a tough spot.
Gents, I got one for you in college basketball. The Fighting Illini of Illinois are red hot. The Fighting Illini of Illinois have been cooking. This line has moved already. Opened at 3.5. Grabbed 2.5. I woke up this morning on FanDuel down to 2. Illinois is winning that game against Iowa State. I know Iowa State has screwed me in a couple of different occasions here, but I think Illinois' offense overwhelms them. And I know that sometimes you talk about the great offense, the great defense. You want to go with a great defensive team. In this case, I'm going against that logic. Give me Illinois. Hey, House, that line moving 1.5 with a lot of people coming in on Iowa State, that should tell you something. And then the other one I'm going to bet, I know I'm not getting House's blessing on this. I love Creighton against Tennessee. Barnes in the Sweet 16. Where do I sign fading this guy? Where do I sign? Creighton is efficient. Top 20 offensive, defensive efficiency. Creighton, Illinois, two dogs, small number. Those are my plays early for the Sweet 16. Lock them in.
I wish you best of luck. I'm staying away from that Creighton game because you heard my bias. And you're going to get a good test with that Illinois-Iowa State game. Illinois, 92nd in KenPom in adjusted defense through Sunday. Number one in adjusted offense, JJ. Iowa State, I don't have it up, but they're right there. Iowa State, number one in adjusted defense, 49th in offense. So you get to test that offense versus decent defense split.
Hey, listen, Illinois right now is hot as anybody. They are as hot as anybody. And I think
Terrence Shannon Jr. might be the best player in the country right now.
Smoking. Smoking.
I rode Illinois throughout the Big Ten tournament. And I mean, this guy's been cooking. I mean, you go back to that game against Nebraska, 40 points, 34 against Wisconsin, 26 against Morehead State, and then 30 against Duquesne. So I kind of want to ride with you, JJ.
Like, I like just the sound because, of that, I mean, Raheem. Well, boys, listen, we will be back Wednesday. I should rephrase that. We'll be back on Thursday. Got to get my days of the week right. Thursday in the morning, we will have you set for the Sweet 16. We'll have all the picks. We will have you set for the weekend in the NBA. We'll have maybe a better feel on this player market. We'll see how much that rocket line ends up moving with my guy, Raheem Palmer. Those, you want to get on those. Raheem, when do you have your bonus pod coming up this week?
Before we get to that, the one thing I want to say is that the Rockets actually play the Warriors on April 4th at home.
Okay.
And the Rockets tonight, I think they're 12-point favorites against the Portland Trailblazers. If they surpass the Warriors this week, this number might be even money for the Warriors to get into the postseason. I mean, the play-in tournament. So you just, like, you get a good week here. And if you're late to the party on the plus 800, the plus 550 is good enough because you're going
right
to be able to,
you don't got, you
you're
going to
be in
wait.
A good position to
now.
Hedge.
Yeah,
you're going to be in a good position to hedge that.
On April the 4th.
Betting now. Getting all about that action. Getting on it as soon as possible. And by the way, guys, in addition to the tournament stuff and the basketball stuff, Thursday, opening day. So I need some totals out of you. Raheem, I need some good stuff. You better get in the lab the next few days.
I'm getting in the lab. I'm definitely getting in the lab.
There we go. For House, Raheem, JJ signing off. Good job by Stefan. Back on Thursday morning. Enjoy your week. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT-IN-INDIANA, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.